An oblia, it means the whole or complete armor. So what is the order of the armor? And here's where we start off. Here's where you start off, to be standing. Okay, be standing. Standing, standing, standing. We're going to see that throughout this teaching, to be standing. And that means to not be relaxed, to be in a position. So that's not the first order of the armor. What is?
Helmet.
And think of it almost as being dressing, as you're dressing. Girded your loins with...
Truth.
That's it. Number two. The breastplate.
Righteousness.
Of righteousness. The third one. Shod your feet. With...
Peace.
That's it. The readiness of the glad message of peace. That's exactly right. The shield.
Salvation.
Faith. Where shall you have power, all the ignited darts of the wicked one to quench. Mm. The helmet.
Salvation.
Salvation. Welcome ye. And the last one is the sword.
It's Rhema.
That's it. And so you see that this is in a specific order. It's in a specific order. And one thing that's kind of nice about this is, as we go through this, you're going to see that that it's a complete package. It's a complete package. And so only one of them is offensive. The rest are defensive. Okay? And you can't have part of the armor and carry the sword. Okay, and you can't have all the armor without the sword. Do you see what I'm saying? It's the complete armor. And so when we look at this, and I'm not going to go to this because we're all very, very familiar with this, but here's the reference for it. Ephesians 6:11 through 17, the whole complete armor, okay, two times it's mentioned, two times within that. The whole complete armor, okay? It's important that it's mentioned that way two times. With a view to having power to stand against the strategies of the adversary. This word is methodoia, or methodia. Okay, that's the word here for the strategies, or what other translations will put as the wiles, I guess. Okay, this is what it is. And so as you see these, the strategies of the adversary. And so as we look in here, to lie in wait, cunning arts, deceit, craft, trickery. Mm-hmm. And it's perfect. Now we know why he's called the deceiver, or the... Mm-hmm. The slanderer, okay? And this is what it is. And so there are two places in the New Testament that you find this methodia, okay? Or the adversary's modus operandi, if you will. Two places in the New Testament. We're going to go to one right now. Let's flip over to Ephesians 4:14. It's going to be on page 198. And I'll go ahead and read that, verse 14. That we may no longer be infants, billow-tossed and shifted around with every kind of teaching, in the craft of men, in knavery, situated for the artifice of error. Okay, this is the second place. The first one there is in the Ephesians 6 through this. I think it's verse 17, or it's one of those. And the second place here is Ephesians 4. Okay, so it's warning there that in the craft of men, knavery suited to the artifice of error. Okay, and that is where the adversary likes to work in. I'm going to read this here. It's kind of lengthy, but this is one of the things that I found in the online Bible, and it was one of the commentaries. I've adjusted it. I've taken the liberty to adjust a few things in here for, I think, a more accurate. But we can more easily encounter open force than we can cunning. Now, think about this as I read this. Okay, we can, if we see something coming at us, we can tuck in. You know, if you see somebody throwing a punch at your stomach, you can tighten up real quick. Okay, we know it's coming, we're defended. But it's those sucker punches that come out of there, you're just like, well, what just happened? We can more easily encounter open force than we can cunning. And we need the weapons or armor of Yahweh to meet the attempts to draw us into a snare, as much as to meet open force. The idea here is the adversary does not carry on an open warfare. He does not meet the Christian soldier face to face. He advances covertly, makes his approaches in darkness, employs cunning rather than power, and seeks rather to deceive and betray than to vanquish by mere force. Hence the necessity of being constantly armed to meet him whenever the attack is made. A man who has to contend with the visible enemy may feel safe if he only prepares to meet him in an open field. Again, you see him coming, you know what you're dealing with, you can fight him based on what you see. The guy's big, I go for the legs. Okay, or I go for a vulnerable point. When you don't see him, you're not, where do I hit? Where do I go? But far different in this case if the enemy is invisible. If he steals upon us slyly and stealthily, if he practices war only by ambushes and by surprises, such is the foe that we have to contend with, and almost all Christian struggle is a warfare against stratagems and wiles. The deceiver does not openly appear. He approaches us not in repulsive forms. You see all these movies with goat's feet, goat's head, and everything else. And what does it say? The adversary will appear as an angel of light. Okay? Something attractive, not something repulsive. So it does not appear to us in repulsive forms, but comes to recommend some plausible doctrine to lay before us, some temptation, so shall not immediately repel us. He presents the world in an alluring aspect, invites to pleasures that seem to be harmless, and leads us in indulgence until we have gone so far that we cannot retreat. And everybody can look at it and go, yep, I can point out exactly where that's happened with me. Okay, and that's it. I like that. There, I had to change a couple things, but I like that because I'm like, going, then it's the deceit, it's the slandering, it's the laying in wait to trap you when you become vulnerable and when you're not ready. And that's why having the armor and being standing is ready for the battle. You are already ready to do the battle. I put this on here because I like this, and I want to use this as an example. When a chick is born, they have to get strong enough to break out of their egg. And if they can't break out of that shell, they don't survive. And guess what happens as they are breaking out of their shell and pecking at it? They're exercising. They're engaging. They're building up. They're building up a defense. They're building themselves up by strengthening themselves. And then when they come out, they have built up themselves a little bit. Now, they're going to be tired when they come through this. It was a struggle to get through that shell. Okay? But they cracked at it, they picked at it, picked at it, picked at it, until finally they break through. Now they break through. And what's happened to them, it has built them up and made them stronger and more equipped. It's important. Think of that also with a butterfly. If you've ever seen the time lapse of that, where they attach themselves up and then spoil themselves, you know, spin themselves up. It's a ton of work that you see it happening so fast, all for it to take place to what happens later, and then they have to break through all that and cut through all that and stretch out and get all the things done. The same thing, that it's a breaking through. And so sometimes when we look at this, it appears to us as a struggle, and we're going to kind of go over that. The armor is just a pretext of what I kind of led into, but we're going to be looking at struggles. Let's flip over here to Numbers 13, 26 through 30. We'll be on about page 171. Somebody would read that there. 26 is on the lower right column there on page 171. 26 through 30.
I'll read. So they took their journey and came in unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto the assemblies of the son of Israel into the wilderness of Paran towards Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the assemblies, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they recounted unto him and said, we entered into the land whither thou didst send us, and surely it doth flow with milk and honey, and this is the fruit thereof. Nevertheless, surely mighty are the people that dwell in the land, and the cities walled in, exceeding great. Moreover also, the descendants of the Anak saw we there. Amalek dwelleth in the land of the south, and the Hittite and the Jebusite and the Amorite dwell in the mountain. And the Canaanite dwelleth by the sea, by the side of the Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people unto Moses, and said unto them, let us go straight up and possess it, for we shall surely prevail against it.
There's some things I'm going to draw some notes here and some lines to this. We're going to kind of hold this thought. But what you see is an impossibility. Walled cities, fortresses, surrounded, completely surrounded. All right, now, is this Yahweh's people?
No.
Yeah. Okay. So when you hear people nowadays say, Yahweh, why didn't you do something? Why won't you do something? These are his children. These are his children that he is talking to and told them to go in and possess this land. They come back with the fruit to show, yeah, it's real. It's real. But you got to go get it. You got to go get it.
Yeah.
Now, Yahweh could have wiped it clean, couldn't he? killed everybody, broke down the walls, and done it all himself. Could have absolutely done it. He'd have done that on his own. And he did not. He did not do that. Okay, he sent the people to do it. Caleb, being bold, says that, let's go do it right now. And shush the people, as the people were probably murmuring, tells them, you know, silence the people. Whoa, let's go do this now. Which was exactly right on. To be engaged with, and be standing. That's one of them that we're going to look at. The victory, an act of defeating an enemy opponent in battle, game, or other competition. That's from the Oxford. And so when we look at that, and we talk about victory through Christ, for us as the body of Christ, this is what we're talking about. Defeating an enemy opponent, battle, game, or other competition requires being prepared, work, discipline, and engaging in. When you look at that and you think to yourself, okay, what's being prepared? Being prepared for us as the body of Christ, knowing the word, knowing what we have to say. The work means that we have to, is part of the engaging in, if you will, and the discipline that we're going to do this. Caleb said, yes, let's go do it. All three of those first ones are preparatory to be to the point to go. Only one of those is the action. And that's the engaging in. The rest of those are the build-up to it. Engaging in means we go. Yes, here's the fruit. We know that it's true what's over there, but now it's time to engage in. And so as for Christians where we say, well, sit on the sideline, I'm not going to engage in because that's a fight. I don't want to go get into a fight. Peace, let's just have peace. I'm like going, did Yahweh want peace for the people who were occupying their territory? Did he want peace? No. He wanted them out. And he told them, take them out. Go take them out. And so when we see this, the engaging part, everything else is the cheerleading on the side and getting ready for it. We get on the bus, we load all the stuff up, everything's ready to go. When we get out of the bus and we get on the field to go, that's the engaging in. And that is where the fight starts. That's the fight. Everything leads up to it, the build up to it. Winston Churchill had a great quote here I put in here. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be. For without victory, there is no survival. And like, well, that was awesome. Yeah. Perfect saying there for the World War II era. So why the struggle when we look at it like going, golly, I thought this was supposed to be easy. I thought being a Christian, all the troubles and cares and everything would go away. And I'm like going, look over history through the word and you'll see over and over and over again, Yahweh had the people do it. The people did the action. And there's a reason for that. We look at it as a struggle sometimes. But a lot of those times as this, you look at it as a struggle, you're like going, that's what built me up. That's what got me ready for the next round. That's what got me elevated to go to the next step. And so just take this obstacle from me, please. Just make it go away. Why didn't Yahweh remove the inhabitants from the promised land?
They were supposed to.
That's right. Break the walls of Jericho instead of having the people do it. They were supposed to occupy it, weren't they? They're supposed to take it. He didn't do it. He had them do it. He told them how to do it. Remove the Philistines and all his enemies. These people were killing his people. They were a thorn in the side. Yahweh, do something! Okay, these are his people, and yet this is the same thing we see over and over again. Why didn't he annihilate the enemy instead of stopping the sun? And so when you look at these things, Yahweh stopped the sun. It was called so that we could continue the battle and engage till it was over. And so that was the engaging in. That was engaging. Now that's a struggle because guess what? We're out here swinging the sword all day plus some extra hours to keep the sun up.
Overtime.
That's exactly it. That's extra credit. We're getting time and a half for that. But again, why? Because couldn't you just wipe them out for crying out loud? Wipe them out. And there can be times where something happens. But even in the times where we see there were 180,000 were wiped out, what do you tell them to do? Go take up a place to watch. I'm kind of tired. I'll just sleep in this morning. I'm just going to kind of... You take care of that. That's on you. You go do it. There's always an engaging in when it comes to it. And that's entering into the fight. If we want to sit by and be a cheerleader, that's fine. But then when you engage in the fight, that's where you step into it. And you risk a struggle. You risk a struggle because you are going to come against forces that are trying to prevent you from that. This is what I kind of refer to as the possess versus profess. Professing, saying, yes, we'll go do this, we'll go take this, yes, we can do this, we can do this, we'll do this, yay, yah, rah, rah. Possessing it is, we are now getting out and doing it, okay? Mm-hmm. Stepping out of the boat was possessing it. Professing it, you tell me I can walk on water? Yes, I can do it then. Okay, do it. Let's go. And that's the possessing part of it. The possessing is the action. That's the enacting, enabling, going for and doing it, stepping out. The gains in the struggle the things that you get from that. So people a lot of times are like going, I don't want this. I want things to be peaceful. I want to just have smooth sailing water and don't have to go up current or anything else. I'm like going, and you can. You can have that. But when we're called to do the things we're supposed to do and to stand out, we engage. And when we engage, it may be in a fight. And so all throughout history, we see over and over again, Yahweh had them do it. You go do this. Go wipe them out. Go take this place. Go possess this. Remove this. Remove that. Take care of these people. And so this is what took place. Weakness and strengths are revealed to us. The building up or making stronger, drawing upon Yahweh and reliance on Him. And David was a great example of that, where he learned upon it about the shield that Yahweh was to him, and how he sang to him, how his reliance was completely upon him as a king, his reliance upon Yahweh. Understanding of priorities, what is really important. Sometimes it takes that where you go through something and you're like going, you know what? I've got to go and I've got to minister healing right now. And everything else, it's on the back burner. Doesn't matter. All of a sudden, that doesn't matter. I've got calls at the office. I've got this to do. I've got all this stuff to fill out. All of a sudden, that takes a back seat to being in action now and jumping into that fight. And that's exactly it. We understand the priorities, what really is important. And it produces thankfulness. And we're going to see that as well, that it does produce a thankfulness as we go through these things, that these take place. So when people call it a struggle, was it a struggle for them to go and evict the people out of the promised land? Yeah, I call that a struggle. You got to go out there and you got to move these people out by force. Call it a struggle, call it whatever you want. It was called upon to do. Builds upon your faith. That's probably one of the biggest things there in all of those are the gains. When you had to fight for what you have throughout the past, you appreciate it more. You won't let anyone take it from you. You have a deeper appreciation that this is paid for. This was paid for. I am going to hang on to this. I worked hard to get to that point. I mean, I think about that even for Aaron or for somebody who works a business, you know, that I've worked really hard to get to this point, you know, for your bodybuilding or for your hunting and building up your corporation, that I know the sweat and the labor that I put into this. I'm hanging on to this. I'm going to keep it going. Paul Bryant, the price of victory is high, but so are the rewards. Let's flip over here to Samuel, 1 Samuel 17. 307 through 25. I've got it. It's on the top left there of 306. And we're back now to David and Goliath, obviously. Okay? And so I'm showing some of these things that where call it a struggle, if you will. It's Yahweh calling you to engage. Get engaged. Well, it might be a fight. It's gotta be a fight. It might not be a fight. I'm telling you it is a fight. Okay? Engage. Get in. Get going. Now, as he was speaking with them, lo, the champion coming up, Goliath the Philistine by the name of Gath, coming up out of the ranks of the Philistines, and he spake according to these words, and David heard them. Now all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from before him and feared exceedingly. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is coming up? For to reproach Israel is he coming. So then it shall be that the man that shall smite him, the same will the king enrich with great riches, and his own daughter will give him, and his father's house will make him free in Israel. Okay? There's your risk reward. Well, you see the guy you're going up against. This is a little bit different from the adversary. You see the struggle. You see what you're going to go up against. A guy that's pretty big. And so, was he engaged? Yeah. Did it take this for this to take place, for them to happen? If David had not engaged, you think of the ramifications of how much longer they would have been pursued and what was taking place. After he slayed him, what did the Philistines do? They took off. They took off. Was that an engagement? Yes, he engaged. It was a struggle. He had to go out there and do it. Remember the whole prep up to this is you gotta be wearing this. You got to have this coat of mail. You've got to have all these things on. All this advice coming into him, telling him, and he goes out and does it. He engages, and he does it by the word, saying that I will do this, that through Yahweh I can do this. All right, and so this is engaging Yahweh. Why won't you just take him out? He's hurting your people. Okay, the same thing over and over again. He's still here today. I hear that on the radio today about where was Yahweh? Where was God during this time frame? Okay? And that's exactly the same we see with the rest of the children. Faith is forged in the furnace of adversity.
Hello. No one is available to take your call.
The first generation children of Israel forfeited their inheritance because they would not fight. Mm-hmm. I don't want to struggle. I don't want to do it. Okay? Guess what? Did they have a struggle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The struggle was there whether you like it or not. It's there. And so engage in the fight or the fight's coming to you.
Yeah.
Okay, it's what you're not getting out of it. It's going to happen. You paid 40 years in the desert, and the whole generation before died off. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there was a struggle and there was a fight, even though they avoided the one that Yahweh told them to do. Okay, and so this is where the engagement is. That they lost it. That this is it's yeah, it's fight's coming to you. As long as everything was going smooth, they were right where they were right there shouting with the rest of the army. But when the struggle came, they caved in and gave in to discouragement and fear and doubt. And that's it. And cost them bitterly. How many of Yahweh's people have forfeited their promises just because they refused to fight? Okay? Or forfeited prophecies that people have told them because they refuse to fight for it. They do not get engaged. Well, this is supposed to happen. It should happen sometime. Okay? Get engaged. To get jump into it. The fight is coming to you. You take it. Take it head on and go right to it. When the heat is on, no bailing out. No backing down. No laying down your swords to concede with the enemy. And this is where we see now with the New Ageism where people are like going, peace is more important. Peace is more important. Okay, the adversary loves that when he can... Now you just flow in like water through a crack, just comes right through. Okay, and new doctrine comes in, everything else. So we don't concede with the enemy. We go to the enemy, we take it to the enemy, or the enemy takes it to us.
Right.
One or the other. The victory in Christ, what you have to fight for. Okay, and a lot of these now, as we look at these two, some of these things are going to be within our own bodies that we're fighting against our own flesh as well, because the struggle is against our flesh with the things that we desire of feeding our flesh. And so what have you had to fight for? What have you had to fight against? What have you had to overcome? And so as we look at all these things, these were all struggles. And so sometimes we look at them like going, golly, I don't really think of that as a struggle, but yeah, that really was. I was battled. I was engaged in battle. And things came against me that I had to fight back and I had to counter against. Your struggle or victory will help others stay encouraged. And this is really important. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, page 181, verses 3 through 7. And I'll read this here. Page 181 on the left column.
181.
In verse 3. Verse 3, chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassions and God of all encouragement, who encourageth us in all our tribulation, to the end we may be able to encourage them who are in any tribulation, through means of the encouragement wherewith we ourselves are encouraged by God. Because even as the sufferings of Christ overflow unto us, so through the Christ overfloweth our encouragement also. But whether we are in tribulation, it is for your encouragement and salvation. Whether we are encouraged, it is for your encouragement, which worketh inwardly. Or if you look at the footnote, energizes by the endurance of the same suffering which we also suffer. And so our hope is sure in your behalf, knowing that as ye are sharers of the sufferings, so also of the encouragement. Okay? And so it builds upon that as well. And as we look through there, you know, I look at David, and I think to myself, David's building up, and his preparation was killing a lion and killing a bear. Mm-hmm. Those are that's nothing to balk at. That's pretty impressive. And to his understanding of the word and understanding that through Yahweh he was able to do these things. And so I look at that and I think to myself, I can learn from that story. I can share from that story. I can look through the word and see what's taking place in the New Testament to the books that are written to the body of Christ. And I can glean from that. And I can glean from the stories that I hear from other believers of their sufferings, how they overcame something. Well, I went to go teach at this place, and boy, I was just absolutely assaulted. And the people who assaulted me were the people, the last people I would have ever thought that would have attacked me. You know, like going, okay, and now we learn from it. We learn from how we talk to it. Here's a great way of breaking this to somebody where you can get through and open up their ears and their eyes without them even realizing, what just happened? Okay, versus an affront where it's like they immediately become defensive. And so we learn from that and encourage ourselves together as a body of Christ. You may be struggling right now. Don't feel sorry for yourself or others that are struggling, okay? If people felt sorry for the 40 years in the desert, whose fault? Okay, you can feel sorry for them. The sorry was that you should have done this. Would you feel sorry for them if they were in there doing battle, kicking the people out? Of course not. You'd be like, cheer them on. Go. Keep going. Keep persevering. And that's where you were talking about that. Don't give up. Yeah. Don't give up. Keep hanging in there. Persevere. Hold on. Pray for them, but not just to get out, but to go through, okay? To complete it. You don't pray for them, don't let any battle happen to these people. No, pray for them to get through, to conquer, to have the victory in Christ as they are going and doing what they're supposed to be doing. Yahweh did not deliver Daniel out of the lion's den. He delivered him through it.
Wow.
Yahweh did not deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the furnace, but through it. Yahweh did not deliver Christ away from the temptation of the adversary, but through it. And think about that. Think about the suffering. 40 days without food. And then was tempted beyond any man, above anything that we could possibly imagine. And guess what happened? Afterwards, the rest came. He went through this. It was suffering. People, don't let him. He shouldn't have to do 40 days. Take him away from that. No, we pray for him to make it through that 40 days, to be victorious, to stand tall and engage and hang in there. Hang in there. You got it. Keep going. This is where we look at it. Yahweh did not deliver Christ out of the cross, but through it. This was his own son. For crying out loud, of anybody to shake their fist, why? What are you doing? Where were you? His son. His son suffered. His son suffered hard for us, so we could do it. And he did not have it coming. He was a sinless man. Okay, hang in there, baby, is my point. I have something I want to, because we're kind of, I'll be done here in just a minute. I'm going to play this here. This is a song that I really like. It's a country song. And listen to the words to it. Who's married to Faith Hill?
Tim McGraw.
It's Tim McGraw and Jody Messina. Okay, and just listen to the words, because it's pretty good, because it's about her wanting to give up and to stop. And so I like it. I think it's a good song. And you can apply it to a lot of Christian things here. So.
Sometimes I'd like to hide away somewhere and lock the door. A single battle lost, but not the war. 'Cause tomorrow's another day, and I'm thirsty anyway. So bring on the rain.
It reminds me of the in Psalms. It talks about the weeping is through the night, but joy comes in the morning.
A couple drops, and they all start coming down. Yeah, I might feel defeated, and I might hang my head. I might be barely breathing, but I'm not dead. 'Cause tomorrow's another day, and I'm thirsty. So bring on the rain.
like that song because it the courage to keep going and stand up. And so even for us when we're in the struggles and we feel beat down, you know, whether it be from other believers or from family or for standing in the Word, and you're taking your beatings for it, to keep hanging on and to keep persevering, that yes, it's a struggle, and we will learn from that. Not that Yahweh's putting us in there to beat us down, okay? But at the same time, the fight comes to us, or we go to the fight. One way or another, it's still going to take place. And so I think about it as this way, too. The victory's already over. The victory's done. Christ won. Mm-hmm. But what we have is this. We're still on the field. So the baseball game is... it's the 10-run rule. It's over. Okay? We've already won. The 10-run rule happened. Now the score's... It's if the adversary lost his score place, it's gone. We still have score. But the victory's done. But we're still on the field, and we are still engaged, and we're still taking the fight. We're still taking the fight, and we're still going to it. But Christ has already made us victorious. Okay? But until Christ comes back, we are still to be engaged, and we're still to take the fight right to Him. And not to shy down and buckle down and go in just and roll with the water and go downstream as a peaceful thing, but to be engaged and take it right to it. And this is it right here. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be taking courage, I have overcome the world. Turn over. We've got two more scriptures here. Psalms 18. Psalms 18, verses 28 through 29. 536, I think, is there for 28, 29. If somebody would read those two for me when we get to it.
Did you read in Elijah?
536.
On the top right column, 28 and 29.
For thou didst light up my lamp, Yahweh my God, he lightened my darkness. For by thee I ran through a troop, and by my God I leapt over a wall.
That's it. Okay, and so what we're reading here is this. David talking about this. For by me I ran through a troop, okay? For by thee. And by my Elohim, I leapt over a wall. Uh-huh. I didn't tell the wall to come down, which maybe I could have. But Yahweh, just take it out of my way, for crying out loud. I can't take this. No, that I'm encouraged, that I can do the things. That you tell me what I need to do, and I'll do it. Mm-hmm. I'll go around the wall. I'll jump over the wall. I will take it right to it. And so this is where I love this, because I'm like going, this is the attitude where we have to say, yeah, it's a fight. Yeah, I have to do this. I have to go through the troop or break down a fence, okay, that David would go up against. I have to go through that. And Yahweh gave it through him. He made me that I was able to do it, that I was able to do it. Through him, I was able to beat Goliath, okay? Not by Yahweh alone, but Yahweh through him, encouraging him and engaging in him to do that. Goliath would not have died had it not been through David and through Yahweh. And so that's the engagement. That's the fight, taking the fight. Yahweh's, come on, baby, get in there. Yeah. When we go out on the field, whether we take a beating or not, he's there. Yes, come on, do it. Call on these things. Know these things. Know these verses. These are how we combat the adversary. We spit it right back out. The word is the sword. That's our sword. We spit that out, and guess what? Holy cow. We have the. Do you mean they submit to us?
Yeah, authority.
That's exactly it. Okay, last one here. 2 Corinthians 4. Verses 15 through 18. If somebody would read that there on page 183.
Like David with the challenge, God was going to kill him with a stone. And Yahweh added, you're going to cut his head off too. Because then a prophecy came out. David didn't have to do it. You had done it, now do your job. You had to...
finish it off. That's right.
Cutting the head off. Why? Yahweh told him to do it.
Yeah. Oh, but that's so brutal. It's bloody. It's messy. Do we really need to do that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so 14, I'm sorry, 4 verses 14, 15 through 18. If somebody would read for me, please.
I will.
For all things are for your sakes, in order that the favor abounding may, through means of the greater number, cause the thanksgiving to superabound unto the glory of Yahweh. Wherefore we faint not, but even if our outer man is decaying, nevertheless our inner man is renewing day by day. For the momentary lightness of the tribulation, in a manner yet more and more excelling, is working out for us an age-abiding weight of glory, so long as we are not looking out for the visible things, but for the invisible. For the visible things are temporary, whereas the invisible are age-abiding.
That's it. And so that's where we look at it, and we're like, going, okay, is it worth it? Last teaching, I talked about that. If, you know, working for, you know, 12 hours or working for an hour of hard labor, if it covered you for the rest of your life. And
yeah.
Yeah, of course you would. And that's it. Where we are going to be rewarded. That was also part of it, that your reward is great. Okay, you are going to work and you are going to labor and you are going to engage in, but your reward is great for what you do and for doing that.
Thank you.
So that is it.
Hey.
I will go ahead and close, and then I'll have a word for any audience.
Sorry.
So Yahweh, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name and to be able to speak your words and go through your word and study and learn from the things, learn from the stories that we are not doomed to repeat the same things that have plagued so many generations, but that we break through, that we stand fast and make good footing and good foothold, that we are able to withstand the storms and that withstand the things that come against us. And that as we do this, that you are enabling us and empowering us and giving us the encouragement and giving us the strength and the wisdom and the authority to speak against these things, that as the things that have taken place, the sun stopping to complete a battle, the wonderful things that your children before us have done, that we are able to learn from. And so we thank you for that, and for everybody here, for those who are not here, for blessing them. And we just speak this all through your Son's name, Christ Jesus. And for the people watching, I just have a word of prophecy for them as well. And so my children, gather yourselves together with the like-minded, that as you are afraid to step out on your own at this point, that I'm calling you to be equally yoked as well with those that have the correct doctrine, that know, come before and know that I am preparing you, that I am calling you to extend your walk. I want you to step forward, but you are very novice. You are very childlike in your understanding of my word. And this is important for me to know that the things that you need, the equipment that you need, is in my word, that I am able to build upon these things with you as you have a desire. So energize yourself within this to create this desire. Have the itching ears and the eyes that are desiring me, that as you feed upon this word, I will enlighten you, that I will light the page up for you. I will show you the places to go as you come before me. You must take the first step. You must come before me, walking towards me, that I may be able to fulfill this and have this engagement with you. Protect yourself from the things of this world, that this is not your home, that the world is it will tear apart from you, that they will steal from you and take the things and come after the delicate fresh petals that are you right now at this place. So side yourself with the like-minded believers and build yourself up and protect yourself, that you may be able to step out as you learn my word and become fruitful and multiply the things that I have given you and shown you.